Good morning, greetings in Jesus' precious name this morning. Glad to be with you in the house of God today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer again. Our Father which art in heaven, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. We worship you, we adore you, we love you, we thank you for sending your Son, for dying on the cross for our sins and for making us your children and giving us eternal life and hope of heaven. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the blood that was shed for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. And we pray, Father, you bless our day. Bless this little portion that you've given us today and multiply it that it might reach out and feed many souls, Lord. And we pray that you just be with each soul here in our presence this morning, that you would minister to each need, whatever that need might be today. We just bless you. We give ourselves to you. We wait on you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yeah, good morning. This morning I want to share a message that has been a blessing to me. It's sort of a continuation of a school devotion I had a couple weeks ago. I had a little school devotion with the children. It started my heart going in a certain direction. And when I was sharing with them, I shared a little bit about, I shared a verse, I'll go back. Years ago, we were at a revival meeting over here close to Fishertown, and the evangelist, when he started preaching, he opened up his Bible, he started reading the text, and it came to pass. And he stopped right there, and he spoke for about 15, 20 minutes on those couple words. And it came to pass. And it opened my eyes to something that I never thought about before, the fact that life situations, life circumstances, many things in life, they come and they pass. They come and they pass. There's many things in life that, and that's the beautiful thing about life. We don't have to, bad times, they come and they pass. And good times, they come and they pass. Life has its variations. It's its ups and downs. And there's many things in life that come to pass. Then I told the children that there are some things that don't pass. They stay. And I asked them if they could think of one. And I was so blessed. Sometimes when I'm talking to children like that, I feel like I have a problem talking over their heads. But one of the little first grade boys put his hand up and he said, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Perfect. That's something that is never going to pass. Jesus is one that he's always the same. He's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to always be the same. And I thought that was a perfect answer. And I was so blessed that it came from a little first grader. That he had that principle in his heart that Jesus is always going to be there. He's always going to be the same. He's not going to pass. He's not going to go away. He's going to be there for us. And then with that, my thoughts started going, there are this is the solidness of our relationship with God, is the fact that we have solid things that are secure, and we have a foundation that stands for all time and all of eternity, and we don't have to fear, we don't have to doubt, but we can stand secure in God in every situation, no matter how hard life gets, no matter what takes place on the earth. We know that we have a kingdom that is built on a rock that is secure for all time and all of eternity. And my message this morning has to do with the promises of God. You know, the promises of God are that God has established his kingdom. He established his counsel, his promises to man, and they will not change. They will not. They will not change. They will be the same. That the counsel of God is established. Now, it was established once, it was established forever, and he doesn't change the rules. You know, our government is such a mess because they're always changing the law. You know, if they don't like the way it is, they make another law. They change the law. They can do away with this law. They when something gets in their way, they just change the law. They change the rules. And it's the reason we have so much confusion and frustration and the dishonesty and everything that we have in our government today. We don't know who to believe. We don't know what's right because everybody's got a different story, and if they don't like the way things are, they make it the way they want it to be. They make it to fit the way they want it to fit. But that's not God. God's laws were established in the beginning. The laws of God, the standard of God, God's principles, God's word, God's message, God's plan for man was laid out before the world began. And it stands today, and it will stand for all time and all eternity. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Thinking of the promises of God, you know, there are so many promises. Someone said that there's different numbers. People tried to count the promises in the Bible. Somebody said there was 3,574. Somebody else said something of 5,000. Somebody said there's 7,000. I don't know how many there is, but we know that the Bible is full of promises from God. It is full of many promises that God promised, God's promises to his people. And we know that those promises are standing. They will stand. They do stand. They will stand. They will not pass. They did not come to pass. They are here and they will stand. God's eternal truth will not change. It's going to be true. It's going to stand throughout all time and all of eternity. The promises of God, it's the very foundation of our faith. What else do we have but the promises of God? It's where our faith is. It's what our faith stands. It's where our hopes is. It's where our the reality of our life. It all focuses on God's word to man. It's God's plan to man. God's purpose, plan, and promise. God's covenant with mankind is. It's the foundation of our faith. It's the foundation of our life. It's what we live for. It's why we live. It's how we live. It's what we are here for. It's the whole purpose of our life. It's the fact that God has a plan and he provided it for you and I. He made a way and he promised eternal life. He promised us. He promised us eternal life. He promised us a future. He promised us a hope. In Titus chapter 1, I have a lot of scriptures here this morning, a lot of different portions of scripture to read. But we can't near cover all the promises of God this morning, but there are many of them. In Titus it says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Isn't that beautiful? God that cannot lie. God is a God. He cannot lie. His word is true. There's no variation. There's no turning. There's no changing. And God, he has not changed his mind. He doesn't change the rules. But God's word is truth. It was established. It said he promised this before the world began. So this plan was laid out already before the world began. He didn't make the rules as we go along. He had a plan in mind that was established before the world began. And that's the solidness of our salvation, of our relationship with Him, is the fact that we have a foundation that is solid, it is unchanging, it is secure, and it stands. It's been there before the world began, and we can build our life upon that. In Hebrews, it says, in Hebrews chapter 6, it says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Here it says, God willing to show us, in every way He could. It says He, the immutability of His counsel, the counsel of God, or the promises of God, to show the unchangeableness of it, to show the fact that the solidness and unchangeableness of God, He confirmed it by an oath, so that it was not only, it was the promises of God and the oath that he confirmed it with an oath, so that so that there are two immutable things, two things that cannot change, that God gave the promise and God gave the oath, that what He says is true, it's right, it's solid, it cannot change, it will not change. The immutability, the immutable things, that word means that which cannot change, that which is unchanging, that which is solid and unchanging. That's what I thought about calling the message, the immutability of God. That's what it really is. So the promises of God, they are immutable. They are unchangeable. They are unmovable. They are solid. They are a foundation. They are on the rock. There are nothing can change it. Nothing can take it away. Nothing can affect the truth that God established before the foundation of the world. These truths are solid. These truths are firm. And God confirmed it with an oath that by two things, it's impossible for God to lie. His word is true, and we can build our life upon that truth. He cannot lie. He will not lie. He cannot lie. His word is solid. It is truth. It is forever settled in heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. On this little verse, I put emphasis on the fact that it says, in Him. You know, these promises only apply to those that are in Him. These promises are good for those that are in Him. If you're not in Him, the promises don't apply. The promises are to those that are in Jesus Christ. So this is the key to experiencing the solidness in your life, is to be in Him. We must be established in Him first. We must be we must be born again. We must be redeemed. We must be entered into the kingdom by faith in Jesus. We must be in Him. The promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So this morning, the first thing we want to look at is have we entered into Him? We enter in by faith in the promises. It's by faith in the Word. We are born by the Word. We are born by the promises, as we, by faith, exercise our faith in the promises that God gives, that we have access to God. And if that's the case, therefore, if we believe these promises, we believe that the promises are true, if we are settled in our heart, if we are in Him, and the promises of God are true, then we can believe. Therefore, we conclude that you are what God says you are. And you have what God says you have. And you can do what God says you can do. Do you believe that? That's the Word of God. It's the promises. Those promises apply to our life today. If we are in Him, and if we believe the Word of God, we believe the promises, then we are what God says we are. Those promises apply to our lives personally. We become a personal vessel in the working of His kingdom. But we want to look at the promises that relate to our entering into Him, and the promise of eternal life. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's that gift that God wants to give to every one of us. You know, the sin has a paycheck. Sin has a paycheck. There's wages that go with sin, and the paycheck for sin is death. But the gift of God, the love of God, He's reaching out to you and offering you the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the gift that God wants to give to every one of us. He doesn't want us to be working for wages. He wants us to be receiving His gift, eternal life through Jesus Christ. Another verse I like in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Do you believe that? This morning, it says, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. You'll believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. I don't know what it is about confessing with the mouth, but I believe it's a part of God's counsel that was established and settled all the way back in the beginning. There's something about confessing with the mouth the Lord Jesus that our salvation hinges upon. And I believe it's very, very, very critical to our walk with God that we are not ashamed of Him, but we are willing to confess Jesus Christ as my Savior. I appreciated Paul's testimony this morning, confessing Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I believe that's something that's very critical. I was speaking with a local pastor here one time. We talked about a certain person that attends his church, and I said something about her, so-and-so attends her church, and he said, yeah, but they're not saved. And they went on to say that, I think he said most of the people in his church aren't saved. Kind of shook me up. I didn't know quite what he was getting at. I said something to someone else about it that knows him better than I do, and he said, yeah, his conclusion is that if somebody comes to church and sits there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and does not give a testimony, they're not saved. I don't know what to say about that, but I believe it's something to think about, that if we are saved, we'll have a testimony. And we should have something to say for the Lord. And I would say personally, as a young Christian especially, I remember many times how faith-building it was when I was just a very weak young Christian to just stand on my feet and say, I thank the Lord for saving my soul. It was a faith booster to confess Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that's something that I would like to encourage us here. I feel that it's something we're weak on. I think we ought to exercise ourselves a little more in that. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that when I'm done preaching. I believe that we need to confess Jesus. Confessing Jesus is part of our salvation. I feel it's something very important. And it says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. I believe that the reason we don't confess him is because we're embarrassed, or we don't, I don't know, why don't we? The devil doesn't like to hear it. The devil doesn't want to hear us confess him. The devil hates the name of Jesus, and he hates to hear Christians confess Jesus. And that's why it's hard to do, because the devil wants to keep us quiet. In John, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confessing our sins is where we find our cleansing. Confessing with the mouth our sins, confessing to God our sins. He's faithful and just, and he cleanses us from all sin. That's the importance of confessing sins, that we find cleansing, that we find forgiveness for our sins. And in Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Here we see the Peter said, he said to be repent and be baptized. These are the promises that are promised to us. Those that will repent and be baptized, we receive remission of sins, we receive salvation, we receive forgiveness of sins, receive eternal life, receive the Holy Ghost, receive redemption of our souls. Well, this all promised to us as we come to God by faith, as we exercise our faith in the finished work of the cross. We experience the regeneration, the power of God, the presence of God, a changed life by walking by faith, by looking to Jesus and repentance and brokenness and obedience and submission, surrendering our life to God and complete surrender to him. God is able to save our soul, to fill us with his presence and give us that solidness in our life that we can claim the promises of God. By this, we have access into the promises of God. We have access into his presence. We have access to all the fullness of God. And think about being in Christ. What am I in Christ? What are we in Christ? In Christ Jesus, we have many, many, we inherit so much. Entering into Christ, we are one with him. And we have access to many spiritual blessings in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want to read verse 3 through 7. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Here it says that we have spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We are a chosen of God. It says he has chosen us. We are chosen and we are holy, that we should be holy and without blame before him. This is the inheritance that we have in him. Not because of what we have accomplished or what we have done for ourselves, but because of who he is and what he has done for us. Only through him that we can be holy and without blame. We have no merits of ourselves. We are adopted into his family. We are adopted by Jesus into his family. Adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. We are accepted. We are not rejected. We are accepted. If you have problems with feeling rejected, you need come by faith in Jesus Christ. We are accepted in him. We are not rejected. We are accepted. And we are redeemed. We have redemption through the blood. And we have forgiveness of sins. As we come to him, this is our inheritance. And this is what we obtain walking in him, living in him, experiencing him by faith. Colossians chapter, I love these verses. It's something I never can quite wrap my mind around completely, but it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is head of all principality and power. This is in him. We are complete in him as we by faith walk in him, live in him, dwell in him. We are complete in him, and in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And as we dwell in that and walk in that, we have access to all the promises of God, to all the fullness of God, to all the presence of God and his power and his grace upon our life. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to hold us back from going forward. We have many things on our side. We have more grace than what we can comprehend. There's more provision than we can ever understand or comprehend. It's like it's like I heard of someone was concerned about whether there's enough of grace. He says it's like a small fish in a big ocean of water, worried about whether the water's going to get all. We don't have to worry about whether grace is going to get all. It's not going to get all. There's grace there for you and I. There's grace to provide for us a bar more abundantly, more than what we can ever comprehend or ask or think. Thinking more about the promises of God's provisions for us. God provides for us. He provides everything we need. He provides for our life, for our walk, for our sustenance, for our victory, for our redemption. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, one of our favorite verses there, it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. That's a beautiful verse. We don't have to worry that there's going to be something's going to come upon us that we can't handle, because God's going to give us grace for every situation. He's promised to be there to help us through it, regardless what it is. Whatever the situation is, he's not going to let us down. He's going to give us the strength and the grace to be an overcomer in every situation if we keep our eyes on him and if we continue walking in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Isn't that beautiful? That God's provision, even in times of infirmities, times of distresses and issues of life that we face, He doesn't give us more than we can handle, but He gives us grace. Grace enough. He gives us grace enough for that situation. He gives us grace enough for whatever situation comes into our life. God's not going to let us down. He's not going to let us shorthanded. He's going to give us grace enough. He doesn't always take the unpleasant things away. He doesn't promise to give everything pleasant and everything easy, but He does promise grace for that situation, whatever that situation might be. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And in Romans 8:32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" He provided all this for us. He's provided everything that we stand in need of. There's nothing that we can need. There's nothing that He is not able to provide, is not able to care for. He's able to provide in every situation as we walk in faith, as we walk with Him, as we dwell in Him, as we live in Him. His promises, these promises are not just maybe and sometimes. This is the eternal Word of God that's been established before the world began. I believe this is truth. This is truth. This is our God. It's God's answer to our situation in every situation that we face. We might not always see the answer. It might seem like there's no answer sometimes. But as we wait on God and continue to walk with Him and to put our trust in Him, we know that He's in control of our life. We know He's in control of our situation. We know that we can rest in Him and experience victory in the end. God promises to be with us and to help us. In Isaiah, a couple of verses in Isaiah that I love. Isaiah 40. It says, "He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." In Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." I believe God is faithful to His promises. I had to think this morning of this particular verse where it says about the flame kindling upon them. You know, we had many of our forefathers have died in the flames of the burned to the stake. There are those that have been drowned for their faith. They have burned to the stake for their faith. But this is the reason that they could go to the stake singing. I believe God gave them grace to die. I believe God was with them. I believe God was holding their hand while they were going to the stake and giving their life for their faith. I believe God was right there with them, holding their hand and comforting them and preserving them through those difficult times. He gave them grace to go through those things. He didn't necessarily take them away from it, but he gave them grace for it. And I believe that's the promise of God, that regardless what circumstance or situation God brings into our life, he's going to give us grace, and he's going to be there holding our hand and caring for us and walking with us through every difficult situation. I don't believe that I would have grace to die that way today. But I believe if that day came that I had to die that way, the grace would be there. I believe God gives grace for the situation as we need it. I believe that's the way our God is. And I'm blessed with that this morning. God doesn't let us come up short. He is able to provide everything that we need at the moment. And I praise God for that this morning. And with that, thinking of all these beautiful promises and the beautiful position we have before God, I believe it should move our hearts to praise and adoration and worship that Almighty God, that forever immutable, unchangeable, settled in heaven, truth that's been established and has been given to us this morning, that we can rest in, that we can build our lives upon, that we can worship and adore him, and we can love him and serve him and give our life to him. In Psalms, a couple of verses in Psalms, yet in closing, says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." The only way we can say that is if we stand upon that rock. We stand upon Jesus Christ and these promises to us. He is my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations." That's our God. He endures. It's his mercy. It's everlasting. And his truth, his promises, his truth, his counsel, it endures to all generations. It's here for us today, just as it was in the days of the New Testament, in the days of Paul and Peter, in the days of our forefathers. God is still, God's counsel is the same. His promises are the same. They have not changed. They are secure. They are here. They change not. They stand forever and ever. They are endures for all generations. His mercy is everlasting. The Lord is good. God bless his name. This morning I had to think of, it says the wise man that built his house upon the rock. He built his house upon these promises and walked by faith in him and doing the things that God expected of him and living the life that bring glory to God. This is the rock that we can build our life upon and experience his presence with us. But the foolish man, the one that didn't care about the things of God and didn't care to build himself upon this, build his life upon other circumstances of life, and didn't have the foundation of truth, he built his life upon the sand, and the sand, when the storms came, there was no foundation there to stand. But this morning we have that foundation in Jesus Christ. We have the promises of God. We have that which does not pass away, that which will never pass away, that which will stand for all time and all eternity, which is Jesus Christ and His Word, His truth this morning. And that's what I want to recommend to each one of us today, that we exercise ourselves in faith, walk with Him, give glory to Him, allow Him to accomplish His work in us and through us here in His time. This morning, I'm going to just take this time and give you an opportunity to confess Jesus Christ. I believe that confessing Christ is something that's critical. It's a part of God's plan of our salvation, to confess Jesus as our Savior. So I'm going to take some time to give you that opportunity. If you want to share Jesus this morning with us, tell us what He's doing for you and give Him a praise today.